this is the Real BS Show coming at you from sunny, well, rainy. We got to do the weather report first, though.
Yeah.
That's that's very important.
Yes.
We've been flooded out for the last week. Almost couldn't get to McDonald's for dinner.
Oh, dear.
The roads were all shut off.
Flooded up.
Because when it rained, like yesterday, it rained so hard it just poured over the paved roads.
I mean, wow.
They were just, you thought about driving through it, and it's too much. But it was really something. Holy smokes. Getting a lot of crazy weather these days.
That's true.
Is that Russia doing that to us?
I know. I just think it must be the chemtrails or something. That's a joke.
Well, let's do a show about these guys that are playing in the background, Santana.
Yeah.
I first bumped into them in, I think it was 69 or 70.
Yeah.
69, maybe. We went to Atlantic City Blues Festival.
Oh, yeah?
That was 2 weeks before Woodstock. And we went to the Blues Festival. It was hot. I mean, super duper hot. And one blues band after another, and it just scorched you. I mean, and then a Santana blues band came up, and you're just thinking, what the heck? What's all those drums up there, you know?
Right.
And somebody got up and they said, we got to apologize. It's listed as a Santana blues band, but as you're going to find out, they're nowhere even close to being a blues band.
Right, right.
And when they started, it was like a breath of fresh air. I mean, it was just took the heat right away. I mean, it was really, really something. And nobody ever heard of Santana back then.
Right.
Never, never. But we did, so we got that first album. And we must have done half the songs on that album. And nobody ever heard of Santana, so the people thought we wrote that stuff. And
right.
They were just thrilled to death with that. So it was. So let's play some of them.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff from Santana. It's named after, I guess, Carlos Santana.
Yeah, guitar it's his player, band.
But
yeah.
He's still going, and his band scattered every which way. So
right.
Some of them are homeless on the streets in California.
Right, right.
But, all right, well, I don't know what this first one is, but...
it's called Waiting.
A lot of these songs sound kind of the same, but they were ahead of their schedule back then.
Oh, definitely. They really. Were pioneers.
Yeah.
They've used different genres together so well.
Well, it came out really nice, and everybody just loved it.
Right.
And then 2 weeks later, they were at Woodstock, and that was pretty crazy. So... it was a Soul Sacrifice or something.
Yeah.
That was a big hit there at Woodstock.
Right.
In the rain, in the mud and everything.
Right.
Miserable. But, okay, let's listen to Santana.
It's the Real BS Show. We are here with Mr. Hinkle and me.
Yeah. I think I'm here. I don't know.
You know, one of the things that, looking at this band, is I'm coming from a younger perspective, and I was always blown away by their performances. They always put a great performance on, whereas you actually got to see it first, before really most people.
Before anybody knew who they were.
But I remember their Woodstock performance. That's the one that kind of stood out to me, and they were on a lot of LSD that day. And, you know, that's whatever. It's not the point.
Matter because Woodstock was such a sloppy, grainy, muddy mess, and everybody was starving to death.
Right.
It was just horrible. I mean, it was terrible.
Right.
But people liked the music. I mean,
right.
You know, one after another, they kept coming. But Santana was pretty wild that night. And
yeah,
they took everybody by storm because nobody knew who they were.
Yeah.
And they did I can't remember the name of the song. It was really a big hit. Soul Sacrifice.
Yeah, Soul Sacrifice. Maybe. We got that at the end. We're playing in the order of the first album, every song.
Well, we did things like Evil Ways and...
like the last song we just played.
Jingo and stuff like that. And people just loved that stuff.
Right.
And they'd never heard it before, so they thought we did it, you know.
Right.
So it was a biggie for us. I mean, it really...
Right.
It was fun. We had Al, he'd take one of the tom-toms and floor tom and put it out front, and he'd be pounding away on that thing.
Oh, geez.
Lead singer, and it was pretty neat. It was fun to do. It was fun to do.
Right.
But, so I don't know, whatever you got lined up here.
Oh, yeah, I got some more songs. They literally wrote, they wrote so many different songs and over the years. And I always liked how they fused like Latin music. They had like Mexican mariachi music mixed in, and like blues and jazz and psychedelic. It's all mixed in together. But it's interesting how Carlos Santana came from a family of musicians. Like he has a long history of lineage of that. And so it's kind of interesting to see how he took elements of that, his family and stuff, and brought it to this. It's like really crazy. It's so different. And I think more bands were influenced by Santana than would probably even you'd even think of, you know.
Well, they were a big deal with the Hammond organ, the B3.
Right, right, right.
And that was different and powerful, powerful.
Right.
And plus his guitar playing was good. I liked it anyways.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's very tight on the guitar.
Yeah, it was clean.
They have a new album out, actually.
I don't think he ever said a word on the microphone. He never talked. He never sang. He didn't do anything.
Right.
Just played guitar.
Right.
So they swapped a lot of singers out over the years. But,
right.
And plus, he played with a lot of famous people too.
Right.
And
right.
He just keeps on rolling.
Yeah. He has a new album out. I remember when he had his resurgence back in 2002. I think who was that with? Oh, it was I can't remember the name of the song, but it's a well-known song that was hit on the radio, and boom, he just got big again. It was like a huge pop, you know. And I don't know. I just remember as a kid playing in the vinyls and was blown away. So to me, it's like this band, you experienced it when you were younger, but I experienced it when I was in my youth, and it kind of influenced me too, like, you know, made me want to play guitar, you know, in a lot of ways. So that's how I kind of view it, you know. But yeah, the next one is Shades of the Time, I believe it's called. Shades of Time, and then Savers, the one after that. I'm not sure which one.
I can't remember songs by names. I hear them, I say, oh, yeah, we used to do that one.
Right. We'll play these two and see if you remember them.
All right, let's do that.
That you've done, I'm certain that you had your fun.
Well, there was a couple songs that we did off of that album that really put us up on the spotlight. I mean, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, you name it, Buffalo. We were everywhere.
What was the name of the band again that you guys did?
The Philip.
The Phillips?
Yeah, the Philip.
Philip.
Philip. I forgot what it means. It means something stupid. I don't know what. But it was some of our best stuff was Santana. And Jingo was a biggie. I mean, kids just loved that song. I mean, they just wanted to.
Right.
You could play that all night long. They wouldn't have cared. Then there was another one called Persuasion, and I can't remember exactly what it sounds like, but I'm pretty sure we did that too. We did quite a few of those off this first album.
Right.
So I don't know what's coming up, but
yeah,
it'll definitely jar my memory, that's for sure.
And was this the band that you almost got a record deal with, was Philip?
No.
What was the band that you almost got a record deal?
I went to Florida after the Philip broke up. Me and the drummer, Pete Peterson, went to Florida with Cubby McDonald, who was originally a Titusville person, but he went to Columbia University in New York City, and he got to be good friends with Felix Pappalardi, who is the producer for Cream.
Uh-huh.
And he says, "Well, you guys go down to Florida and meet up with your guitar player and put stuff together, make a tape, send it up here, and we'll see." So that's what we did. We went to Florida, and we called ourselves Old Paint, and we played different places down there, and we made that recording. We sent it up, and one of the songs on that recording we sent up to New York City was a thing called, we didn't call it Mississippi Queen,
right?
But Leslie West did. He changed the words around, but the instrumentation and the guitar playing is identical to what our guy did. And he definitely stole our song.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Mississippi Queen. He got to be made a lot of money off of that one. But anyways, we sent it up there, and they said, "Yeah, come on up." So we went up to New York City with Pete Peterson, Cubby, and, Bill Schaefer, and who was a guitar player from a long time ago. But super good guy, and we played it on Gonnell's, which was a place where Eric Clapton and Ginger Baker and all these different, Leslie West and all these people hung out.
Right.
It was like their place to go. And here we were playing for Eric Clapton and the
right.
boys.
Right.
You know, Alvin Lee and, you know, some really big time. I think the first time we were there, we played with in front of Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Alice Cooper. And then we played at a press party for Alive and Kicking, a band that sold a million albums. And Alive and Kicking, I don't even know what their songs were, but
we played it before on the show. And it was a decent hit. I think they were one hit wonder.
Yeah,
though.
They came and went pretty fast.
They broke up after that.
But
I think that happens a lot.
I mean, it was quite an experience for me to spend 6 months or whatever it was in New York City. It was just, what a dive. I mean, dump.
Yeah.
Just a terrible, ugly dump.
Right.
And
to think they cleaned it up in the 80s, right, or 90s.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't ever want to go back there, that's for sure.
Do you guys have the tape still from that band?
No. At least not that I know of. Covey might, but I don't know where he is. I think he's in Hawaii or someplace. Huh. But, I don't. Pete died. Peterson died. He's buried over there in Pleasantville.
Oh, yeah, wow.
The other side of Titusville.
Right.
So, and Bill, I have no idea where Bill Schaefer is. If he's still in Florida, I don't know. If he's still alive, I don't even know that.
Right.
But he was a good guitar player and a good guy, really good guy. But it was, what a time to be playing music, like especially in New York City and all these people that, I don't know, it was amazing. It was amazing for me.
Right.
Because I was still pretty young then. I was before I went in the Army.
Right.
and then I got drafted. Matter of fact, I got drafted while I was in New York City. And they said, either you come with us or you're going to jail.
Oh, shoot, yeah.
So I said, well, I guess I'll go in the Army. And Bill Schaefer packed his bags and went back to Florida. And I don't know what happened to Cubby and Pete. Pete went to Houston, Texas. opened up an ice cream stand and I don't know, made his fortune. But I went I went in the Army. That was a shocker. Whew.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you...
Yeah, I was in the Army, yeah.
Whoo-wee. What a mess.
Yeah.
But that was, I don't know. Santana's kind of a big deal to me, Three Dog Night, because nobody ever heard of them then. And
right.
That's when we started doing their songs, and we got really popular.
Right.
We made a lot of money. We were making more money back then than we ever, any of these bands are making now.
I bet. Whew. I bet.
I mean, we go to Pittsburgh and play at those places, and we do three gigs in one night, you know, the Psychedelic Lounge and some of these big hullabaloo things they had down there, and we do three gigs in one night, and we made a fortune. I mean, it was amazing. Back then, you know, $600 a night was a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was, what year was that again?
69, 70.
69. So U.S. inflation calculator... if you do 1969, and you said $600, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So 1969 and then $600 would be equivalent today of $5,255.
Holy smokes.
That's a 775% cumulative rate of inflation. That's how much. That's back when you guys, when the U.S. dollar was on gold standard still.
Yeah.
So until 1971.
Before Nixon got to him.
So I mean, hey, that's a lot of money.
It was for us back then. I just remember that.
Yeah. Because how many were in the band? There was four, right?
One, two, three, four, five.
Five.
Yeah, there was Alan Weiss.
So you have singer. That's about $1,000 a piece. You know.
I don't know. I was back. It was, I was supposed to be working for GE, General right. Electric, in their apprentice program, and
right.
which was a deferment, you know, you were deferred. Well, finally, they said, hey, you haven't been coming to work or going to classes, and I said, oh, yes, I have, your records are off, you know. About a week later, they called me and said, no, you haven't been here. I said, okay, I quit. Well, what I forgot about was that now I'm not deferred anymore, you know. By the time I hit New York City, I guess they were looking for me in Florida too, but I was gone by the time.
Yeah.
I only stayed down there six, 8 months.
Yeah.
And then we went to New York City, and that's when they caught up with me.
Oh, geez.
I said, well, you know, and Alvin Lee had made a deal with us. He said, hey, you got to make a better tape. And he said, I'll donate $10,000 to you, go into Vanguard Studios and make a good tape, and we'll go sell it.
Cause right.
Capitol Records made us an offer for $10,000 for two singles.
Uh-huh.
And he said, nah, that's no good. That's you know, that's chump change.
That is. You think about it, even back then.
What did we know? I didn't know anything.
Well, at least you had someone looking out for you, because usually it's not, you know.
Yeah, Felix Pappalardi was good friends with Cubby. And,
right. That's only $87,000, by the way, nowadays.
Well, I just...
for two singles. I mean, then they own it, right, at that point. I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah,
who knows how all that stuff works, you know?
Only $87,000, you know, for two singles. But, you know, studio time's expensive.
We got real close to hitting something there, you know?
Right.
If
Vietnam wasn't going on and didn't have the draft, I'm sure you could have probably went somewhere with it.
Yeah, they killed the draft a couple of years after they got me.
Isn't that crazy? see, that's the difference. My father is two years younger than you, and he missed the draft by like an inch. He was like a month difference for draft call. His number was coming up, and him being 2 years younger, he missed the draft.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
his brother went. His two brothers, both of them went. One was in Germany doing intelligence stuff, you know, like, I don't want to say spy stuff, but it was basically watching the Russians. And then the other one was in the Air Force.
When I got drafted and I went into basic training, boot camp,
was
Fort Dix, which is close to New York City.
Yeah, New Jersey.
Well, when
yeah.
they're drafting people, they don't care about that. You can, you know, almost be in a wheelchair and they'll take you anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
So all the crooks and thieves and criminals that were drafted.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys were stealing everything, you know, bayonets and gun parts and all kind. And, you know, 200 of us in my company started.
Yeah.
And 160 of us graduated. So that means 40 of them went AWOL.
Yeah.
Took off and never came back. And,
yeah.
And it was, I just remember that in the mess that was, I'm thinking, we're in trouble because these people are just terrible. Most of them are so far out of shape. It was just terrible to watch. It was something else. What an experience.
I don't know how many came into mind, but we had three or four guys quit. And this is all volunteer, by the way. This is before 9/11. But three or four quit. The first day, they had us all line up. They quit. And it's like, what?
How do you do that? Just quit?
They just quit. Because it was not a draft. You can leave at any time.
Huh.
During basic training.
Wow.
You could leave any time and not have a dishonorable discharge. Until you complete basic training, you're not fulfilled with your contract. So you could just walk out. I'm assuming that's what they told us, you know.
Yeah.
They wanted people to leave. They didn't want to, if you didn't want to be there, get out.
Well, after basic training, everybody got stuck in the infantry except for me.
Yeah.
They sent me to helicopter school.
That's because you're more intelligent, Bill.
I don't know. I have no idea. But when I went to that in Virginia down there, that was like, it was luxury.
I'm sure it was.
And then I said, well, wait a minute. Maybe I don't want to leave, you know.
Yeah, right.
Some congressman got me out and hardship discharge. And I said, well, I'm going. I'm leaving. I don't want to stay.
Is that around. Because you had a parent pass away or something, or?
Well, I was married and had a kid.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I think
I had a kid.
Was it Mary Jo?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, she was, I don't know.
She's the first one, right, isn't she?
Yeah. So anyways, they said, you can go. And I said, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm gone.
Yeah.
I took all my clothes and then everything and threw them in a dumpster. I should have brought them home with me. I could have sold them. All that stuff that people buying at the surplus store.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I gave mine away. I didn't need it anymore. Like, I had extra boots. I gave those away because the boots were not cheap. I gave my rucksack away.
Yeah, I remember the boots were pretty nice, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But it was, what a hectic years those were. Jeez.
Yeah. We kind of were talking about boots. I just remember this one guy. We were infantry. And again, I could have picked any MOS, but I chose infantry because, you know, the recruiter convinced me. But I could have picked any MOS. I was good on the ASVAB score. But I know this one guy, he bought these pair of boots, and he kept on talking up, saying how great they were, and, you know, slip resistant, and you could walk through anything. And the first day out in the field, it just rained. And we're walking through the woods, and it's like a, you know, thick undergrowth and everything. And he steps on a log and slips and falls backwards. I was there thinking, they're
pretty nice boots.
Kind of made me realize, don't talk up what you just bought. Be careful. Test it out first, you know? But, you know, hey, we got next one here. Is that Jingo and, what's the next one? I think Persuasion is the next one after that.
I don't remember.
Persuasion. And those are the two ones you mentioned that you remember and played.
I'm pretty sure. I know Jingo was. That was a biggie. I mean, that was just knock them dead.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it's the way we did it or something, because I'm sure we didn't do it exactly like Santana, but we really turned it up.
Do you think this band influenced how you play bass? Because the bassist is way more complex.
I have no idea.
Because he's more complex than your normal bassist. He's more of a jazz bassist in a lot of ways.
I don't know. I didn't care, didn't know. I just played what I had to play, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, on to the next one.
We'll just say it's in the back of your mind then. But here's Jingo.
Okay, let's do it.
BS show. We're back.
Well, at least the temperature's nice outside.
Yeah. Don't nice. Need any persuasion to go outside.
Yeah, it's a nice breezy day.
Yep.
Well, I guess the rain's coming.
It is coming.
There's some more.
2 o'clock to nasty stuff. 3:30, I guess. We're gonna have some rain in this region. And by the time this goes out, it'll be raining.
Just so there's no tornadoes. That's those are awful.
They are. Oof. We had 3 technically confirmed tornadoes. They were kind of minor. Yes, a barn and whatnot got destroyed, which is tragic. There's thankfully no major injuries or anything happening.
Well, when I was in Alabama, I was so afraid of those things.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Whew, were they nasty.
I will admit, I do have a deep fascination with tornadoes and hurricanes. I'm not wishing for them. I just, as I've always wanted to see them. And so when I went through a hurricane, I will admit, I stood outside and watched it.
Oh, yeah. Hurricane George, I think it was.
Yeah.
And that was pretty awesome. But a tornado is just so much more violent.
Yeah.
So much more...
Intense, yeah.
Intense in a smaller area.
Yeah, it's way more wind speed than a hurricane, for sure.
Oh, man, it's just awful.
Even an EF1 has more hurricane or more wind speed than a hurricane. We went through the one in Union City, then the one that was an EF2 or 3, I can't remember, north of Wattsburg, and that was pretty intense recently.
Albion got hit pretty bad.
Yeah, that was
too.
A 4, I think, wasn't it?
I went through right downtown Albion and up through Cranesville or whatever
There was reports of bodies being thrown far away. And it sounds morbid to talk about.
Over 20 people dead in that Albion one.
Yeah, we have family members that knew those people very closely, because Albion is, back then was a very nice, tight-knit community, and, people knew each other, so it was tragic.
Well, most of them were related to each other,
yeah,
too.
True, that's true, yeah, that's probably true, but, yeah, it's, thankfully we don't have too many tornadoes here compared to other places.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we're still working on this album. You know, this album here is
Santana's number one first.
Has a lot of treats to it.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and it's who knows where all the players went.
Yeah,
Carlos Santana is the only one that still sticks out.
Yeah, this is one of those albums you can sit there and go into a deep dive. Who was all in it, and the personnel you had, Carlos Santana.
Well, they had a lot of players. I mean, a lot of...
The bassist was David Brown. Greg Rowley was the lead vocals and did the Hammond organ and piano. Michael Shreve did the drums. Michael Carabello did the congos and percussion, and Jose Arias did the congas and other percussion. So interesting, you know, a lot of band members there. And there was a lot of producers too, you know. David Brown, he passed away. He's no longer alive. He died in 2000, 53 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. What a young, that's a young age.
That fame and fortune sometimes will get you.
Yeah, 53 years old, that's quite young, you know.
Yeah.
And they don't say how he passed away. That's the part that I'm looking for, and I don't see that. he came because he had a drug problem, that's what it was, yeah. He died in 2000 of liver and kidney failure. That's rough. Greg Rolie, he's still alive. He's out there playing.
Is he a keyboard player?
Yeah, yeah. He served as the singer for Santana and Journey. He both co-founded both those two bands.
Wow.
He performed with Ringo Starr. Looks like he's still out there kicking. Playing different bands, The Storm, Ringo Starr and his all-star band. So he's playing with them. Did a lot of collaborations too, it looks like. So that's the lead vocals guy. And then Michael Shreve, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's still alive. He's the drummer. He's still playing out there. He has a list too of different things.
Well, he was a good drummer. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, he composed music too for like The Tempest and Apollo 13. Movies. So that's interesting. And then Michael Carabello, he is still alive. He's 77 years old. He's
probably homeless too.
Yeah. He's only the member of the Hall of Fame whose primary instrument was congas. I did participate in a reunion with Santana. He's still playing. He's in a jazz band. And he's, oh, okay, interesting. Some of these people probably just, you know, didn't want all the fame, too. That's the other thing.
Well, Santana was that way, too. He didn't,
yeah.
He didn't want to be the star of the show.
Right, right. Yeah, this guy, this other one, Jose Arias, he's still out there playing. But he's not probably wanting the spotlight, you know. Interesting. Just interesting to see all that. You know, so it seems like only one person from the original Santana band, David Brown, passed away, which is sad. He was a good bassist. If you listen to the album, it's tight. He's a tight bassist. So I'll give him that, you know. It's just sad to see that, you know, drugs consumed him, because imagine if it didn't, what would happen? Would he have had to get different band members, because they still were performing until 1972, you know. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Nobody knows. I mean, it just life's pretty crazy.
Right.
But you got a couple more?
Yeah, I got Treat and You Just Don't Care.
Oh, there's the opposite of I Love You.
Right, right. that's a good song. Yeah.
All right, well, let's do it to them.
Yeah.
See what happens. It's the Real BS Show. We're coming to the end of another exciting week.
Yeah. Yeah. Rain.
Yeah, flooded week. Oh, boy.
Makes you wonder what nature does when it rains that much. They just probably...
I don't know, something crazy going on this year. I don't know. I don't. Say something to Nancy Taylor out there. She's gonna. They got tornadoes in New Jersey going on.
Oh wow!
Today they're predicting them.
Oh wow!
Today and tomorrow, matter of fact.
Yeah, don't be spinning, Nancy.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty wild, and they say it's going to get pretty rough. So, well, this last song that we got for everybody was. It was really a big deal at Woodstock.
Right,
you know, I mean, it wasn't their greatest stuff and everything, but everybody at Woodstock just thought that was just the most wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. You can watch their performance on YouTube. It is lightning. They are so tight. They're so into it. They're like in the zone completely.
Yeah.
And they truly are were great band members, all of them. Every single one of them played a part, you know. And I think this is the song. This song to me is the one that's one of their best.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've sprinkled a lot of them over the years.
Oh, yeah.
Black Magic Woman
and a
whole bunch of different ones. But they just keep rotating members and people. But it's always Santana, Carlos. Kind of leading the thing here.
Leading from the back. That's kind of how I'd word it too.
Yeah,
he's a good guitarist, great guitarist, but just he doesn't light the spotlight so much on him, which is good. You know. It's more honest, I think, you know?
Yeah, he's done well for himself and good for him. You know, they were special at the time.
Right.
And so tell everybody, stay healthy, stay kind to each other, and eat right.
Yeah,
you know, do all the good, get a little exercise once in a while, and
right.
And I guess we'll see you all next week, hopefully.
Yeah, and you know, as Carlos Santana would say, "Adios, amigos."
Oh, he used to say that.
Yeah, that means goodbye, friends. Oh. Yeah. Hmm.
That sounds like something Roy Rogers would say.
Probably.
Or Gene Autry or one of them guys. Yeah.
Well, that's his generation, so.
Yeah. Okay, let's take it away.